Paul, thanks for bringing my dad today. What are we going to do next?
I'm very tempted to say it as an usher that we're going to have offering, but I feel the need to have scripture right now.
Okay. So now we need to pick a scripture reader to read for us Acts 1, 1 through 5. Ben, you were late. Come on up.
He was in nursery. He wasn't late.
Okay. Well, you get extra credit then.
I would like to take this opportunity to launch my sister straight under the bus. It was her fault. Now, scripture. Yes, the screen. Okay, I can read that. Cool. Acts 1, verses 1 through 5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
Ben, you get to pick what's next.
Oh, yes. Looks like up next we have the message from Pastor Rajiv.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I thought nobody's going to pick me up this morning. Well, I thought, Ben, you're more spiritual than I thought about you. Good morning. So, as you might have guessed, that something else is happening at our church. And, you know, we have planned for the sermon series under the title, How to Handle Change. And we've chosen John as our worship leader. And every time when we choose John for something, we have to anticipate there is going to be change. Amen? And some of those changes are easy to go along. Some of these changes are really difficult. Some of these changes like would catch us at the right when we were not expecting. But again, thank you for going with this idea of, you know, going through worship service in the way we like and making it a change, not the status quo we've been having for so long. Amen? Because God is interested in changes in our lives. And so the question is, how do we handle change? How do we handle change? We all have received phone calls when we were invited to start a new job. Amen? We were looking for a job, and now there is a change in our lives, and somebody has invited to work with them. And then we also have received the phone call when they say, "Rajiv, I'm sorry, but it isn't going well as we thought initially, and we have to let you go." We all have been in the doctor's office in one form or the other when we were anticipating something dreadful would happen, and they have taken the test, and they told us that, well, everything is fine with you. But then we all have experienced the other fact, that you just went for the flu and they took the test and the result is very different than you actually thought. In other words, dear people of God, we are constantly experiencing changes in our lives. And not only us, but the disciples of Christ, as Brother Ben read to us from the book of Acts, as they were hoping that now Jesus has resurrected from his death, he will establish his kingdom and he will throw out Romans from their land, and then again he will become the king and we will become their minister, and eventually everything will fall into place and things will be consistent. Our life will go smooth as we want it from the beginning when we choose Jesus as our master and as our leader. But then as Jesus comes and tells that, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to send somebody else to help you. You are going to be my witnesses. In other words, they were hoping to have a settled life. They were hoping that things will go exactly the way they wanted to go. And instead of that, Jesus gives them different commandments. In fact, Jesus is saying that your life is going to drastically change after this time onwards. And so, dear people of God, how do we handle change? The first principle I want to give us this morning is anticipate change. Please turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor that anticipate change. Anticipate change. Things are going to be different. Things will change. In our own congregation, if you notice, dear people of God, that in the last 2 years, things have changed. Amen? And some of those changes are good, and some of those changes are we're still struggling with. Let us anticipate and wait for the change which might come our way. We all have experienced the fact that when we wait for something and when that happens, we are somehow more equipped to handle those things, right? If you plan to move, and if the move comes, we are more equipped for that move. If we know the fact that something is going to happen with my health, and if that happens, we are more equipped to handle that when it comes suddenly to us. When it just happened to us like an accident, that is way more difficult. And so, number one, let us anticipate change in our lives. Second thing, God is going to be with you in your changes. God is going to be with you in your changes. In the book of Hebrews, it says, our God is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen? Amen. Everything around us might change, but our God doesn't change. And that unchanging God, the presence of unchanging God, everlasting God, is going to be with us as we experience changes in our lives. And so, as you anticipate changes in your health, in your relationship, in your housing situation, in your job situation, remember that whatever change might come across you, but God is going to be with you in those changes. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul is writing that, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, he's saying that on my own strength, I cannot do it. With my own wisdom, there is no way I can handle it. But when I know the fact that God is going to be with me in my changing life, in my changing journey, then God is going to give me strength. Look to your neighbor and says, God will give you strength. Remember that, dear people of God, that God will give us strength as we experience His changes in our lives. You know, a few years ago, as a family, we went to a historical place. And it was around 4 o'clock that evening, and it was winter time. And so my wife and I decided that it is about time that we would drive back home because it would be a four-hour long drive. And so in my GPS, I looked that there are two routes. The route which I knew would take around 4 hours. The other one would take only 3 hours. And so we thought, let us take the shortcut. Now, I've never been to that path before, but you know, depending upon GPS, we took that path, we took that journey. And that particular road took us at different places. There were hills and there were valleys. There were places where we would have to drive, which we would not otherwise drive. And I remember there was a time for almost an hour in California, we were driving and we didn't see any car. And so it was a bit scary. We were wondering, where are we going? Is this even leading any place or not? But I knew the fact that even though my GPS is old and defective, it is talking to satellite up there. Right? And that satellite knows the direction. Satellite is giving direction to my GPS, and I am following my GPS, and eventually we came to our place safely, and we're standing here. So you know it's all worked out pretty good at the end. If I am so dependent upon my GPS for the direction in my life, how much more, dear people of God, that we should be dependent upon our God, that God will take us to the places where we need to go. Amen? Amen. And God brings changes in our lives. We do not know what is the next step we're supposed to take. We do not know what is the wise things to do. In those times, I encourage us together as a church to depend upon God the way I've been constantly depending upon my GPS. Now, you know, once in a while I take a wrong turn. But guess what? My GPS is so gracious and is so amazing and so kind to me, doesn't get angry with me. But it says, you know what, Rajiv, I know you messed up, but guess what? We will recalculate your route. And God, in God's grace, will recalculate the route for us when we make mistakes. Amen? Amen. Also, as we're talking about change, we are also going to refer a book called Who Moved My Cheese. How many of you read that book in the past? Who Moved My Cheese? Okay. And so I have a small video clip for us this morning.
Once long ago in a land far away, there lived four little characters who ran through a maze looking for cheese to nourish them and make them happy.
Two were mice named Sniff and Scurry.
And two were little people named Hem and Haw.
As different as the mice and little people were, they shared one thing in common.
Every morning, they left their homes and raced out into the maze to find their favorite cheese.
Sniff and Scurry had simple brains but good instincts. They used a simple method of trial and error.
Sniff would smell out the general direction of the cheese.
And Scurry would race ahead.
They often went off in the wrong direction and bumped into walls.
But Hem and Haw had complex brains with beliefs and emotions that made their life in the maze more complicated and challenging.
Finding cheese was important to the little people.
It was a way of getting what they thought they needed to be happy. For some, it was having material things. For others, it was health or peace of mind.
For Haw, cheese meant living in a cozy cottage with a loving family on Cheddar Lane.
To him, cheese meant being a big cheese in a mansion atop Camembert Hill.
Eventually, they all discovered their own kind of cheese in Cheese Station C.
Every morning after that, Sniff and Scurry woke early each day and ran the same route through the maze to Cheese Station C. Sniff and Scurry hung their running shoes around their necks in case they needed to get to them quickly.
But Hem and Haw awoke each day a little later and sauntered over to Cheese Station C.
After all, they knew where the cheese was and how to get there, and they assumed it would always be there.
Hem and Haw put their running shoes away. They thought they wouldn't be needing them again.
This is great! There's enough cheese here to last us forever!
Sure is!
They felt secure. They even decorated the walls with sayings.
Hem and Haw became so comfortable they didn't notice what had been happening.
Meanwhile, Sniff and Scurry inspected the area each morning to see if there had been any changes from the day before.
One morning, they arrived at Cheese Station C and discovered there was no cheese.
They weren't surprised, since they'd noticed the supply of cheese had been getting smaller.
The mice did not overanalyze things. The situation had changed, so Sniff and Scurry changed.
They were soon off in search of new cheese.
Later that day, Hem and Haw arrived at Cheese Station C.
They had not been paying attention to the changes that had been taking place.
No cheese? No cheese? Who moved my cheese? It's not fair.
Who moved my cheese? It's not fair. So you see, there are four characters experiencing change in their lives, and all of them are reacting differently. So the third point I want to share with you, that as we experience changes in our lives, dear people of God, people react differently because we all have different experiences, we all have different qualifications, we all have different backgrounds, and based on those, we react differently. And so as people react differently to those changes, let us be gracious to them. Amen? Let us not force people to exactly react the way we react to the change. Because again, we notice that fact that people have a tendency to force people to exactly react to the change the way we think is the best way to react. So let us remember these three things. Number one, anticipate change. Second thing, let us remember that our God will be with us in our changes. And number three, let us remember that each one reacts a little bit differently. And we are going to continue our study on Tuesday evening based on this book, Who Moved My Cheese? And this particular month, for 4 weeks we're going to study, I have invited different speakers to come and talk about changes in their own lives. And on the first Tuesday, we have a gentleman, his name is Jim, and he is one of the co-founder of Recovery Cafe. And he has written around 9 to 10 books. And so he's a brilliant guy. He's teaching at Stanford right now. And he has written books and all that. And so he's going to be our first speaker. And guess what? It is your great opportunity that you can still sign up. Amen? So we are going to meet at 6:30 on Tuesday evening. From 6:30 to 7 o'clock, we will have dinner. From 7 o'clock to 7:30, we will have our book discussion, and you know, the book is already right there. So if you go online and if you write Who Moved My Cheese, there are so many books already online. You can read it, you can hear them on YouTube, and also you can actually see it. So we will have a book discussion, and from 7:30 till 8:30, we will have these guest speakers. I've invited four different speakers. They will come and talk to us. And so for 30 minutes, they will speak on their change. And then other 30 minutes, we will have question and answer. And so again, I invite people to join for this. And so I think I pass this. So please, if you can pass around. But prayerfully consider to be part of this great book study we're having. Now, before I finish, I want to share a famous song. And I want to just read for us. It's written by Don Moen. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he will lead me, and rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much because you're good and you're wonderful and you're gracious and you're kind. And Lord, you created this world in a way that every day we are experiencing changes in our lives. And help us that when we go through the changes which we hate and which we do not want, that, Lord, you will go alongside us. You will lead us and guide us and be with us. You will give us wisdom and clarity in the way we should live our lives and the way we should behave. Lord, we have experienced your goodness, and we request and we beseech that your presence would go with us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.